must unite what has been set asunder.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Infinite Fringe. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, coming to you straight out of New York City. TFR, how are you? Love each and every one of you. Happy Easter to all of you that celebrate. So today, decided that I would bring somebody on. You know what? And it was a complete coincidence. I didn't even know it was Easter. I just when I booked them, but you know, it worked out perfectly. Some people might be offended by this. Some people may not know where to go with this, but we're going to present the information and you can dissect it as you see fit. Jordan Maxwell is joining us today. And we've already had somewhat of a conversation for about 40 minutes trying to get into the Jesus Christ I don't know what to call it, the Jesus Christ narrative and Christmas. And we're going to get into Easter. And I think it's appropriate that we do that with TFR. So we're going to do that here. What's up, everybody? Jordan Maxwell, welcome to Truth Frequency Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. It's a delight and there's a lot to talk about.
There's absolutely a lot to talk about. And you can go ahead and pick up right where we left off and talk about the whole what we've been fed throughout history and how it differs from what might actually be the truth. And we can get into Easter and all that. And then I do want to talk about Admiralty Law and maybe a little bit of Saturn. Let's see what we can get to. Go ahead, Jordan.
Okay. I think it would be appropriate now that we're on a different with a different audience to explain as simple as possible, quickly as possible, the holidays, Christmas and Easter and where it comes from and the Passover and all these holidays, where they come from. So let me just say this and just, you know, take it or leave it, but this is what the story is. That the story in the Christian Bible about Christianity and Jesus, Jesus is called God's Son, S-O-N, and he is referred to in the Bible as the bringer of light. He's the light of the world. That's the term that is used for Jesus, is the light of the world, because he's God's Son. Well, actually, God's Son, S-O-N, is actually, in fact, S-U-N, not S-O-N. And so the sun is, where is the sun? The sun's up in heaven. That's right. God's sun is in heaven. The heaven is over your head. Go out in the middle of the day and look up and you'll see the sun, and the sun's in the sky, and we call the sky the heavens. So God has a sun, S-U-N, and it's in heaven. And so from there, you need to understand that the sun has walks through a year. We say it walks through the year, it walks across the sky. And so you need to understand that when the sun, here's where it starts. On the first day of summer, on the very first day of summer in the northern hemisphere, you need to realize that these religions of Judaism and Christianity are a northern hemisphere religions. We don't have very much of the Mayas, the Incas, and the Toltecs, and the Africans, and all of that. We have our religion, Christianity and Judaism, are based on what happens to the human race in the northern hemisphere. So, on the first day of summer in the northern hemisphere, the sun is directly over the northern hemisphere, and it is and that is the beginning of summer. And so, what is the zodiac constellation that is always used to represent summer? And that is Leo, the lion. Leo, the lion, is a constellation of the zodiac. And that the sun is now in the constellation of Leo, the lion, on the first day of summer. So he becomes known as the Lion King. Disney makes movies about the Lion King. Well, the Lion King is the sun in summer. And he is really hot. I mean, he's sensational. He's really hot. He's the Lion King, or the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And so we know that Jesus, as relation to the summer, is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, which is actually Leo, the lion, which starts summer. Then you go 90 degrees on a round circle, you know, like your watch is a round circle of 1 to 12. And so the 12 on your watch represents the 12 hours of the day, 12 hours of night. But on the great clock in the heavens, the 12 represents the 12 months of the year, or the 12 signs of the zodiac. And so there was no 12 tribes of Israel and the 12, the 12 apostles, and the 12 brothers of Joseph. All those 12s are representing the 12 signs of the zodiac, or the 12 months of the year. Now, let me go back to this idea that the sun is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Not God's son, S-O-N, but God's son, S-U-N, because the sun up in the sky doesn't belong to anybody, so it belongs to God. So it's God's son, the light of the world. Of course, the sun is the light of the world. And so he's now the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the beginning of summer, and he's going to be really hot. I mean, he can't be overdone. He's really hot. But in 90 days from now, or in 90 degrees on the circle of your watch, and the 90 degrees will take you to the fall. Now, each day the sun moves southward 1 degree each day. So each day the sun moves southward, but it's moving so slow that you are not even noticing it. But you will notice it 90 days later. After 3 months, you will notice that the sun is not hot. It's actually starting to cool off. And so he has fallen from his great powerful position as the lion of the tribe of Judah, the really hot, he's really hot. Well, now he's not that hot. He used to be hot, but now he has fallen. And it's fallen down, and now he's cooling off. And so we call that beginning fall. Why? Because, well, that's what the sun is doing. It's falling. And why is it falling? Well, it's going southward. It's falling south. And so we call it fall. Well, now when the sun moves even 90 degrees further south, it ends up, the actual time is on December 22nd. On December 22nd, the sun reaches the lowest point on the southern sky, so that we here in the northern hemisphere, we are now feeling it. The sun is gone. So as far as we're concerned in the northern hemisphere, the sun to us is dead. And this is why on Christmas you have a reef on the doors at Christmas. Because a reef, if you look it up in a dictionary, is a sign that someone has died in your home. And so it's a cemetery reef. Well, yes, the sun has died. God's son, the light of the world, he has died here in the northern hemisphere. He's doing just great down south in Rio and in Brazil, but up here where we live, it's 40 degrees below zero in Chicago. So the sun and what it does for us up here As far as we're concerned, it's gone. He's dead. And so on the 22nd of December, the sun reaches the lowest point in the southern sky. And we know it moves each day. It moves 1 degree. But when it reaches December 22nd, the U.S. Navy and other world authorities will tell you with their instruments that the sun rises on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th on the same exact degree. It doesn't move any further south, and it doesn't move any further north. It rises 22nd, 23rd, and 24th on the same degree in the heavens in the south. And so anything, the ancient people said, anything that's been moving 1 degree every day means it's alive and moving, but it stops on those 3 days, so it must be dead. So therefore, God's son, and it is God's son, it's not yours, and it's in heaven, God's son dies for 3 days, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. But then on the 25th, all the ancient cultures realized with their instruments, and the modern-day astronomy realizes on the 25th of December every year, the sun that has been sitting on the same degree for 3 days, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, it moves 1 degree northward. So now we know the sun is now going to begin its annual journey back to us. It's going to come back to us now, and it's in the middle of summer down south, but now it's coming back to us. So on the 25th of December, it moves 1 degree northward, so that means it's born again. So now we're celebrating Jesus as born again. December 25th is his birthday, and so we celebrate God's Son, the light of the world, and Jesus is the reason for the season. No, not the man is the reason for the season. The S-U-N, the sun is the reason for the season. And, of course, that's exactly right. We don't have a season without the sun. And so now the sun is moved December 25th, 1 degree northward. Every day after that, 26th, 27th, it's moving 1 degree northward. It's going to take another half a year for it to come back to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. But it's working. It took 6 months for it to go down and die and then to be reborn on December 25th. So it's going to take another 6 months for it to come back to the northern hemisphere. So now as the sun begins to move back, you will find that 90 days later or 90 degrees later, the sun is now, we're beginning to feel it in the northern hemisphere. We're feeling that the sun, which was dead, is now what we call springing back to life. It's springing back to life. So we call it spring because he's springing back to the northern hemisphere. Now, in the ancient world of Egypt, and even today around the world, when someone dies, we say they passed away. Grandfather passed away last night, or grandmother passed on last night. So the word pass has always meant that they have died. And so the son, which is reborn, and it's his birthday, he's born again on December 25th, 90 degrees later, the son passes over. And so this is where the Egyptians called it the Passover. The Passover is the sun passing over the equator, coming back to bring us spring, because he was dead and now he's springing back to life, and he's now passing over the equator to bring us light and warmth and bring God's Son, the light of the world, back to us. And so the ancient people said when you died, you passed on, you passed away, or you passed over. And so today the Hebrews have that celebration of spring, and they call it the Passover. But then you see the Christians also are worshiping the sun, and getting their light from God's Son, the light of the world. And so they want to celebrate the Passover also, but that's Jewish, and you can't do that because you're a Christian. So we will celebrate the same identical Passover that the Jews do, but we won't call it Passover because that's not the correct thing to do. We're Christians. So let us say that it's the celebration of God's Son being resurrected. He's resurrected. And so we, on the first day of spring, we have something called Easter Sunrise Service, where Christians all around the world go out at 4:30 in the morning and the freezing cold in the morning on the first day of spring for something called an Easter Sunrise Service, because you're going to see the sun actually coming back to the northern hemisphere, as on that day it's officially passing over the equator. And now we know it's coming back. And so we have an Easter sunrise service to worship Almighty God, the Son of God. And we call it spring because he's springing back to life. And now we watch him 90 days later and be darned if he doesn't end up being the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So now we have the sun back with us and we are warm and they're freezing cold down south. So the whole idea of Christmas and Easter and the Passover are all nothing more than astrological accepting the sun's movement across the sky from north to south, and then from the south back to the north, and from the north back to the south. And so this is why we have the different holidays. It's just because the sun is dying in winter and it's being reborn, and then it's going to come back to full life. So it starts out as a child, and then at the Passover, it passes over the equator. All of this is nothing more than us astronomically accepting that this is the way the heavens of the earth operate. And so that's what we're worshiping. That's what we're doing with the summer, with the Passover, with Easter, with Christmas. It's all based on the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N. And so the Jews are actually, in point of fact, worshiping the sun. The Jewish religion has, we've been told so many times, that the Jewish religion is the first monotheistic religion on earth. Mono meaning one, theology or theo, and Greek is God. God in Greek is theo, T-H-E. T-H-E means God. And so that's why today you will tell me, well, I'm working for this man, or I'm working for that man. Well, I'm working for the President of the United States. So I'm working for the man. You're working for a man, but I'm working for the man. So anytime someone expresses, now, this is an automobile, but the Maserati there as the car. And so the, in that instance, when you are emphasizing something as being really important, is the car or the man. The in Greek is God. And so... So now you understand what these holidays mean. But why do we have these holidays? I mean, we can understand that it's the different times of the sun, and therefore you have spring, summer, autumn, winter. And so in the Bible, you're reading about God's Son, which is Abraham, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, spring, summer, autumn, winter. So the four Gospels are based on the four seasons. And that's why the Christianity during the celebration say Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, of course the sun is the reason for the season. It's not a man who died on a cross. It's the sun that dies on the cross. So if you understand the sun is on the cross of the zodiac, north, east, west, and south, which gives us the word news. N-E-W-S is north, east, west, and south. So the whole idea of the Bible is called the good news. It's the good knowledge and good understanding that we will always have four seasons: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And God's Son, S-U-N, has 12 helpers, or 12 signs of the zodiac, or the 12 months of the year. So we call them the 12 apostles. And so, but it's also important to remember at this point, too, that our counting, our ways of counting in the Northern Hemisphere and in the world today, generally speaking, goes back to Babylon, goes back to ancient Persia and to the Babylonian dynasties 5,000 years ago or more, maybe 6,000 years ago, is where we get our mathematical equations and how to count time. And in the ancient Babylonian world, they said that you keep the number 360 is important. That's where we get 360. And so according to the Babylonian way of calculating time, and it must be right because we are even accepting it today, that there are 360 degrees on a circle. So if you draw a circle, a perfect circle, and then look at your watch, and those tiny little degrees that the second hand keeps jumping to one degree than the next, there are 360 of them. And so when you're looking at the year, there are 360 little marks around the circle. And the 360 degrees or little marks are the 360 days of the year. But in point of fact, you have 365 days of the year. So what are you going to do with the other five? It's going to screw up your calculations if you're going to stick to what it really is. It's 365 days. And so all the ancient peoples of the world and all the governments of today have faced the same problem. We count everything on 360 and 90 degrees and 180 degrees, and then 360 is the perfect circle. But since you've got 365 days, today, like the ancient world, why don't we just have, and the government's come up with this, why don't we just have five holidays? And those holidays don't count. Nobody's going to work. Nobody has to keep track of the bank. Nobody has to worry about government doing anything. Why don't we just take 5 days a year and don't do nothing? It'd be like like the Jews on the Sabbath. We'll just stay home and do nothing. So we just take off 5 days a year, and we'll call it anything you want. If you're in Africa, you can call those 5 days holidays, whatever you want. If you're in England, you can call it whatever you want. If you're in Russia or China, call it whatever you want. But everybody understands on the globe, everybody understands on the earth, we have five holidays. Why? Because you got 5 days that you can't deal with the system of calculation we have based on 360. So now you understand where Christmas and Easter and the Passover and all of these other religious holidays is all based on the sun going in a 12-step program. As I said, that's what you, when you look at your watch, the sun is a 12-step program because it's going from 12 o'clock, from 1 o'clock to 12 o'clock, which is a 12-step program. And when you're going to school, you start in the first grade and you end up in the 12th. It's a 12-step program. And so, well, when you look at the sun each year, yeah, it goes through 12 steps. It starts in January and reaches number 12 in December, and then you start all over again. So the sun is also living by a 12-step program.
All right, Jordan, so, I want to interrupt you real quick, Jordan. Yes. We have 2 minutes plus left to this side. Before we go into commercials, I really appreciate all the nuggets of information and facts that you threw on us. Thank you for that. I want you to tell everybody where they can find you on this side before we move over to the next side, just in case anybody has to leave. What's up, TFR? Happy Easter. Jordan, just tell everybody where they can find you. We got 2 minutes.
I have one website called Jordan Maxwell Show. Jordan is like the River Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, Maxwell, M-A-X-W-E-L-L, Jordan Maxwell Show. And keep that in mind. It's a very important show because there are other websites out there bearing my name that I don't own. I got nothing to do with them. But Jordan Maxwell Show is my website. Go on there and email me and for sure email me and I'll try and get back to you if I can. But keep in mind, I'm 78 years old and I don't see too well anymore and I can't hear too well. So I'll try and get back to you if I can. But do email me. Go on JordanMaxwellShow.com.
Wow. And that just makes me even more appreciative of the fact that you were willing to come on and do this, Jordan. We appreciate you for that. I want to give a big shout to Steve King, who is a huge fan of you. Heal Thyself in the chat says hello, Jordan Maxwell. And I think it was TFR Wookie that said, God bless you, Jordan. And so everybody is throwing well wishes your way. I want to get into, in the next side, the dubiousness of the English language. Who put this together? Why is it like that? You understand? Like, it's just crazy to me. And we need to talk about that. I want to talk about Saturn, and I want to talk about Admiralty Law. This is the Infinite Fringe coming to you live from Truth Frequency Radio, New York City, iHeart. HackerHameen.podbeam.com. I want to say hello to Chris and Sherry Geo. Thank you for the platform. Ben Hameen, Josh Corey, Billy Ray Valentine, Stevie Richards, Big Ray. Later.
Real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
What's going on, TFR? This is Billy Ray Valentine live right here on Truth Frequency Radio. It is the Infinite Fringe. I'm sitting in my kitchen right now. This is where I record from because there's tons of people in my house and I don't have a space to record from. And it's really dark and it's kind of freaky, to be honest with you. But I wouldn't have it any other way than to spend Easter with all of you. I am eternally grateful. And Jordan Maxwell is with us. He's given us some time today. We appreciate him for that. And I wanted to get into why the English language was designed the way it was. This isn't a mistake, in my opinion. I think it was put together in this way for a particular reason. What that reason is, I can only speculate. But we have words like sun and sun, you know, S-U. S-O-N, you know, so it lends itself for confusion. We have weak and weak. We have pale and pale, eight and eight, so on and so forth. All of these words sound the same, but they have different meanings. And I think it's important to address right here. Tell us what you think about that, Jordan.
Well, first of all, the difference between S-O-N and S-U-N, if you're really a student of the English language or you really want to find out, go look up in the encyclopedias or go look in the dictionaries. Look up a subject called the lazy O. keep that in mind, the lazy O. And you will find that in the English language, English teachers and people who have really studied the English language, they know about the lazy O. Most people have never heard about it. The lazy O is simply during the beginnings of English, going back to the fall of the Roman Empire and the coming of Britannia, and the Britannia being Britain, and the English language being formed. The English language is a designer language. It was designed purposely. It wasn't put together just by chance. No, English was designed to do what it does. And so to understand the difference between the S-U-N and S-O-N is called the lazy O problem in English. And it simply means that when the translators of the English language bringing everything into the English language, they came across a word that meant for the sun, the thing in the that comes up in the morning. The word for that in the ancient Germanic language, and English is a Germanic language. Well, in the ancient German, that thing that comes up in the morning that brings light to the world was spelled S-O-N. It still is today, spelled S-O-N. But then into the English language, coming from the German, we spell it S-U-N. And so the idea, the translators came up with the idea that it's called the lazy O problem of English, which means that you are always talking about the sun, the S-U-N or the S-O-N. And so the translators started getting lazy as they were translating from German and other languages into English. They started getting sloppy with whether it's an S-U-N or an S-O-N. And so the translators started saying to each other, the idea began to pass around to the translators of the English language coming into the world. When you come across the word S-U-N or S-O-N, it all means the sun. So don't even bother to make any distinction. Just write it S-U-N or S-O-N. Just write it either way. It doesn't matter. It still means the globe that comes up in the morning that lights up the world. Germans call it S-O-N. You know, we call it S-U-N. It doesn't matter. S-U-N and S-O-N is referred to as the lazy O. So this is why today there's so much misunderstanding in religion, because the Germans even today spell the name for the sun in Germany as S-O-N. But in English, we call it S-U-N. And so that's where the lazy O comes in. So just do some homework on the English language and you'll find there's a lot of strange incongruities in the English language. But what I want to talk about very quickly, since we don't have very much more time, is maritime admiralty law. The ancient peoples in the Middle East around what we call today Israel, Lebanon, and around that area, it was called Cana, the land of Cana. And the Canaanites were actually Phoenicians, and Phoenicians and Canaanite were identical to each other. And so they developed a whole system of government and commerce in the ancient world. And so today, we have to understand that today our commercial system, our banking and commercial system, is based on the old ancient Phoenician Canaanite system of money and banking and all that, going back thousands of years. And so it was perfected under the Roman Empire. This new system of commerce that Rome gave us, but it was actually based on the old Phoenician Canaanite system. And the idea is that there are only two things on the earth. The Romans said that there are only two things on the earth, period. There's land and water, period. Land and water. And so there are two kinds of law. There's a law of the land, and there's a law of water. And most people don't know that. But there are two kinds of law on the earth. The most important one is the law of the sea, the law of water. Because the law of the land is the law of the custom of the people who live on a particular spot of land. So if you're going to go to a different country, just remember, when you get to that country, you need to know that those people live by a different way of living. They eat different foods, and they view things differently than you do. And so how they live in their country, you need to get in line with. You need to understand, that they don't see things the way you do. And so, therefore, it's called the law of the land. The law of the land is the culture that lives on that land. So if you're going to China, well, you better figure out how the Chinese think about traffic and what they do with the foods and how they live and what their laws are. Because if you don't know any of that, then you just need to stay home. Because that's the law of the land, and the people own and live on the land. However, there is also the law of the sea. Now, the law of the sea is banking law. And because water is all over the world, and the people live on the land, but there's water all over the world, and so it's referred to as maritime admiralty. That's why you have an admiral in the Navy, because he's in charge of the sea. And so the law of the sea is banking law. Because you can go to Africa, South Africa, and go to a bank and apply for a credit card. And then you could get on the plane and fly to Russia and live pretty nicely on the credit card in nice hotels and eat steak dinners. Why? Because it's a whole different law. It has nothing to do with the custom of the people or the country you're in. It has to do with money, banking, period. And banking is the law of water. And so we say things like, boy, money goes through your hands like water. No, money is water by law. It is called maritime admiralty law. And because of the maritime law of money being water, it means that you in America, Canada, and in the Western world, this is important for you to hear, you do not, in fact, own anything. You own nothing. So if you put a $50,000 in cash out and buy a new car, and you say, yep, I own this car, you don't own it. You are leasing it. You're renting it. You don't own it. You have what is called an equitable interest in the house you bought. You have an equitable interest in the car or the boat or the plane you bought, but you don't own it. The only way you can own anything in the Western world is two ways. One, you have to pay for it. And second, you have to get a title. It's called allodial, A-L-L-O-D-I-A-L, allodial title. If you did not buy your home with an allodial title, you don't own the house, period. You think you do. What you actually have is an equitable interest. In other words, you put $100,000 into this house over the years. So if you want to get rid of it and I want to buy it, well, I'm not going to just walk in and take it. You have an equitable interest. I have to give you something, whatever it is you want. I have to pay you some money because of the money you've got involved in it. But because you've got money involved in the house don't mean you own it. Now, let me show you why. You don't own anything, period. End of sentence. Not your body. You don't own your body, your heart. You don't own your blood. You don't own your children. You don't own your husband. You don't own nothing. And the reason why is because you have to pay for it. And you haven't ever paid for anything. You've never paid for anything. You think you've paid, but you haven't. The way the English world works, it's international monetary system works on a whole different platform than you think it does. Banks do not do what you think they do. Banks are not what you think they are, and your money is not money. Therefore, your whole system of paying for something is fraudulent because you've never paid for anything. Therefore, you don't own anything. You may have an equitable interest, but that don't mean you own it. Now, let me show you how that works. Suppose you were a painting contractor, some sort of a contractor in construction. Let's say a painting contractor. And I want my office painted. So the way it works in commerce in North America and in the Western world, I call you because you are certified by the state to be a contractor. Okay, so I call you and you come over to my house and you see my office. And I tell you, I want my office painted. Give me a price. Now you go and figure it all out, and then you come back to me and say, okay, I'll paint your office total for $100. And I agree. Okay, so now we have a contract because you are going to do a job for me and I'm going to pay you. And you said $100 and I agree, so that's the name of the tune. It's $100. Now, when you finish the job as a contractor, you come to me and what do? You give me a bill. And the bill is for $100. So I'm not shocked. That's what I agreed to. So I now have a bill for $100 I have to pay you. So you give me a bill for $100. I reach into my pocket and I pull my wallet out and I pull out a $100 bill and I give it to you. And so now I've given you a bill for $100. It's called a $100 bill. If you had given me a bill for $20, then I'd give you a $20 bill. So the idea is that if I give you the $100 bill, I paid you and you're happy. I didn't pay you anything. Because in America, you cannot, and you need to listen closely, you cannot pay a bill in America. You can discharge a debt, but you cannot pay a bill. Of course, we use that term all the time, that we have a bill to pay, and I got to pay this bill and that bill, and we understand what that means. But you don't really understand. You cannot pay a bill. You can discharge a debt, which means when you're walking across a carpet and you build up electricity in your static electricity in your body, and then you touch a piece of metal and you get a sticker shock. You get a shock. Because it's discharging electricity. So therefore, you need to understand your body is 76 or 78% water. And that if you give me a bill for $100, I'll give you a $100 bill. So what I'm doing is I'm discharging the debt because I owe you $100. And now you owe me $100. Because I didn't pay you, I gave you a bill. And which means I've discharged the debt. Look at, you owe me $100, I owe you $100, our business is concluded. So that's the way money works in America. You don't pay for anything. You discharge the debt by giving the same amount of a bill back to the person you supposedly owe money to. And they think they've been paid because they can now use that bill to discharge their debt. And so when they go to the grocery store with the $100 bill you gave them, well, then they owe the grocery store $100, so they give the grocery store $100, and the grocery store is happy because they got paid. No, you didn't. It's all based on discharging a debt, not paying a bill. And since you didn't pay a bill when you bought your car, you didn't pay for the house, you merely discharge the debt. So you do have an equitable interest. You do have money involved in the house, and somebody has to pay you for that, whatever it is. But you don't own the house. Why? Because you did not buy it with an allodial. A-L-L-O-D-I-A-L. Allodial title. A lodeo title means God can't take it from you. Anything the Queen Mother in England owns, she owns it, a lodeo title. Anything the King of England or any of the royalty of Europe and the Saudi princes, anytime they buy something, it's bought with an allodial title. Means nobody can touch that, no matter what. It's their property, period. And you can't touch it. No court can touch it. No government can touch it. No banks can touch it. Nobody can touch that car because I bought it allodial title. And so therefore, there's a big difference between owning something and thinking you own it. And that's why you don't own nothing, because you never paid for it. Mm-hmm. You just discharged the debt. You never paid a bill since you've been born.
So absolutely. You know, I just bought a sweet pair of sneakers and I just found out they don't belong to me. It's tough dealing with that, but nothing belongs to anyone. This is the way the whole thing has been set up. Now, even if you buy a program, let's say if you buy a program online to anything, like a recording program, software of some sort, you don't own the software. And they tell you that straight up. You are licensed to use the software, but you don't own the software.
Okay. Go ahead. So in other words, you don't own it. You are merely paid for a license to use it.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. You don't own it.
You don't own it. Absolutely. So we have 7 minutes left on this side, and I really want you to get into it. I've heard you get into it before, but quite frankly, I'm not 100% versed on it. But here, I'm going to try to explain it to you. That way you know what I'm talking about. The capital letters and the not capital letters in your name, like when you get a bill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Go ahead,
I understand. So there's two of you, and this is a big story, and I'll try and do it quick. There's two of you. There's two of everything. Whatever state you're living in, there's two states. So in point of fact, factually speaking, there are not 50 states in the federal enclave we call the United States. Has 50 states. No, it does not. It has 100 states, according to the law. If you don't understand the law, well, that's your problem. But according to the law, there's 100 states in our union. Why? Because each state is two states. One is called California State or Alabama State or New York State, and the other state is called the State of. So you've got the state of California and California State. They're not the same at all. Two separate states completely. Two different governments completely. So you have the state of New York or New York State. You have the state of Alabama or Alabama State. Totally different governments. Totally different. And so therefore, if every state is two states, then there's 100 states in our union. Now, the same is true with you. There's two of you. There is the public you and the private you. And there's a private you, which means what you and I talk about in a bar over a beer, and we decide we're going to do something, and I'm going to do something for you, and you're going to do something for me, or whatever it is, that's private. It has nothing to do with anybody, including government or God. There's two men talking, and what we said between the two of us is a business. and so there's two of you. There's the private you that I made a deal with last night in the bar, or there's the public you. There's two of you. Now, the public you is the one I can take to court. I can sue you in court legally. But you see, if I did something for you and you owe me $500 and you don't pay me, I can't come to your home when you're not there and steal a TV worth $500. No, thank you, because that is business. And so, therefore, there's two of you. There's the private you, and that's between you and I, or the public you is business. So how do you tell the difference between the private you and the public you? Well, it's the way you spell your name. If you spell your name in upper and lower case together, upper and lower case, that is your private personal body. that represents your personal flesh and blood body. But if you sign your name all capital letters, that's business. Now you're talking about government and courts and commerce and business. That's why everything you will get in the line of a business or your insurance company or your gas bill or your library card or your credit card bill, every piece of actual business, not the personal stuff you and I talked about last night, but if it's actual business, that's different. That will be your name in all capital letters, period. It must be. And so, therefore, you are a business. And the way you are a business is if your name is in all capital letters. And so that's why today you are a corporation. Let me say this quickly. You, your wife, and your children, by law, are a corporation. And this is why if I see you come out of the a restaurant, say, at 2 o'clock in the morning with some woman or some guy, and I say to you the next day, I say, you know, the woman you were out with last night, she's bad company. And you say, mind your own business. Business? Company? And then I find out you're going to get married and she's going to be your partner? So what are we talking about here? Business? Company? And so, and our partner, you're talking commerce. This is why if you're going to get married, you got to have a marriage license. Because when you get married, it's just a business. Of course, who you marry is none of my business. Or who I sleep with is none of your business. But it's a business. And you don't think so? If the business don't work out that you got going with that woman, if the business don't work out, you're not going to God. You're going to court. And you're going to bring your house with you and every dime you've got and everything in your life. You're going to split it because it's a business. So that's right. Why you have to have a marriage license.
Jordan, we got a minute and a half left roughly. I just want to say goodbye to the TFR audience. We love each and every one of you. Everyone in the chat was they had positive vibes your way the entire time, Jordan. They were very happy to have you, as am I, as is Truth Frequency Radio. Listen, tell them one more time where they can find you, and then we're going to sign off, okay?
Come on. You can find me on the web at Jordan, and it's Jordan like the river Jordan. Jordan is J-O-R-D-A-N, not O-N. Jordan Maxwell, M-A-X-W-E-L-L, Jordan Maxwell Show. And the important word there is S-H-O-W, show, because there are other websites out there with my name on them, but I don't own them. So you want to talk to me, go to JordanMaxwellShow.com. That's my website. And please do, and send me an email. It's all there on my website. And send me an email and let me know what you think about what I do. And there's on my website, you will see there's a research society, which I call it a research society. It's just another website connected to Jordan Maxwell's show. And it's all of my research I'm putting on my website over the years, all the stuff I've done, all the words and all the documents and everything. And you can join it. For a one-time lifetime subscription, you can join my research website, and it's going to be enormous. It's already big. It's getting bigger every day.
Beautiful. That is our music. I want to say goodbye to TFR. Thank you very much. See you guys next week, God willing. Be good.